it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation wherever we stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Hello again. We're here for the podcast for the 1611 defense, and we have, this is podcast number 14, if I'm correct, in dealing with the King James Bible and the perversion of it and the preservation of it. And of course, this is the most inexhaustible subject that I've ever dealt with, and Brother Kyle has helped me some of my Bible college work when I was sick, and so we became good friends, and his idea to do the podcast has really turned out well, I think, and we've helped some folks and certainly irritated some folks. But you can sneeze twice in the average Baptist church and upset some people, especially in the day with this virus. But anyway, we're thankful to be able to be with you again. And Brother Kyle, you want to introduce the subject today?
Yeah, so today we are going to be talking about the Word of God. Last time, those of you who have seen the last episode, we compared the NIV and the KJV, or KJB, King James Version, King James Bible. I personally like saying King James Bible, but a lot of people recognize the KJV. Okay, same thing. So anyway, today we are comparing Jesus Christ with the Word of the written Word of God, the King James Bible. Now you say, "What in the world?" Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. Yeah. Comparing the written Word of God with the living incarnate Word of God. Yeah. I want to put it. Yes. Use a $3 word. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, versus God's words. You want to start in John 1:1, Brother Mitch?
Yes, before we do, I want to call to your attention what Jesus Christ, or God said in the psalm. He said, "I worship toward thy holy temple, praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Now, all the modern versions, every version that is a version, changes that and takes that emphasis off of God himself exalting the word above his name. That's above the name of Jehovah. That's above the name of Jesus Christ. And God did that himself. So this is a pretty important subject when you start to think about it. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, the child of God that knows his Bible knows that you've got 7 pieces of armor that you're given as to fight the devil with, and as an offensive weapon and defensive weapon. That last weapon that's listed is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, here's a good question. How would you know about the first 6 pieces of armor that God has given you as equipment to be able to fight a spiritual battle against the devil if you didn't have the 7th? If you didn't have a Bible, if you could not have access to a Bible at all, how would you know about your weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That being so, if God magnified his word above all his name, and I find in Philippians 2 that Jesus Christ has exalted his name above every other name. Jehovah God has magnified Jesus Christ's name in this dispensation above his own name. Now, Russellites don't like that, but I can't help what they like. I know what the Bible says. So looking at that, how important is this Bible? You say you and Brother Kyle maybe are too dogmatic. No, we're bulldogmatic when it comes to the Bible. I would whole lot rather stand at the judgment seat of Christ, having, so to speak, as the world sees it, the religious world, put too much emphasis upon the word than put not enough.
Well, you think about it this way. There's multiple versions of the Bible.
Yes.
All right. He's magnified his word above all his name. I don't like it when people come in, and I'm going to go open up a bag of worms here that we're not going to close on this podcast. Okay. But I don't like when people come up and say, don't say Jesus, say Yahweh, all that. We're going to need to do a podcast on that,
by the way. Yahweh.
That way people can
Yeshua.
Yeshua, Yahweh, all that stuff.
Instead of Jehovah, Yahweh.
Yeah, yeah. And don't, you know, we don't use the word Jesus and all that because it's English. God has magnified his word above all his name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Yeah. You're going to bow. I'm going to bow. Brother Mitch is going to bow. Yeah. Hitler's going to bow. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's a big deal. But the word is magnified above all his name in Psalm 138, verse 2.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we have our first comparison already, the written word to the name of God.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you ready to hit John 1:1?
Yeah. John 1:1 in the King James Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, let me throw this in while I'm pitching. That's one of my old sayings.
Go ahead.
In the pulpit.
When you strike them all out, I'll cut.
Yeah, first five verses in your book of John in your King James Bible, only book in the world that has 66 words in those first five verses. And there's a reason for that. There is an institution on the face of this earth that has officially put a curse on Jesus Christ because he didn't quote from the Apocrypha. They officially put a curse upon Kyle and myself at the Council of Trent, 1546, for not believing the Apocrypha books of the Word of God, which would add 72 books to your Bible, put 72 books to the Bible. I don't believe there's 72 books in the Bible. I believe there's 66. Now, in these first five verses of King James Bible, you can talk about the translators doing that. I think it's Thomas Ravis doing that on purpose, or the committee that translated the book of John. I don't care what you say about it. The fact is, it's the only book in the world that's got 66 words in those first five verses. And like I said, I've got 122 of them. Some of them have 72 words. Some of them have 64. Some of them have 65. Some of them have 67. You got one book in the world that's got 66, just like you got 66 knops and bowls on that candlestick, Exodus 25, trying to show people that there's 66 books in this Bible, not 72. And the Bible believers will see that and learn from it, and everybody needs to. But you'll notice here it says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word, capital W, was God. Now, in the late 40s, Harold Ockingay, who was the founder of neo-evangelicalism, came out with the teaching that the Bible doesn't really matter. It's the message of the Bible. So the message is Jesus. So anytime you've got the word Word, it all ought to be capitalized. Well, that's not so. The word Word is capitalized when it's talked about the incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in your King James Bible, when it's talking about the written word, it's in lowercase. That's how you make a distinction between the two. But in these modern versions, many of them will put a capital W on the written word because, after all, the written word's not important. It's the incarnate word only, and that's Jesus. And so you lose that distinction. Yeah. Your King James Bible makes that distinction.
And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not, I don't have it in front of me, but that's lowercase W.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So who is the Word? Well, most of you who have talked with JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses, Russellites, you go over verse 14, and that's the standard thing that they probably get every time they go to a preacher's door.
Yeah.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So know that the capital W Word is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So You want to go to 1 John 5:7, or you want to go?
Well, let me hit something else right quick, right. Bubba. Notice it says in our text, "In the beginning was the Word." Over in John chapter 8, notice the narrative here in John chapter 8, and Jesus Christ in verse number 22 says, "Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them," this Jesus Christ talking to this crowd, and says, "You said unto them, ye are from beneath, I'm from above. Ye are of this world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he," notice that declaration, "I am, I am." Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Jehovah God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, who he was. "I am that I am." Well, notice here, he says, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you, I said unto you from the beginning." Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." Amen. All right? Our text says, "In the beginning
was the Word."
I mean, how much plainer can you get? Mm-hmm. How much plainer can you get?
Yeah. Yeah, that...
You want to deal with 1 John 1 first? Because it...
Yeah, yeah, let's go there. In the beginning...
Boy, you can't beat what verse 14 in that text, though.
Yeah.
"The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Notice it says made flesh. Galatians 4 said he was made of a woman, under the law, made.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, and that's one thing that they got tripped up at the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. about when Jesus was begotten.
Yeah.
Now, John 1:18 is if you... I mean, I got an NIV because of the last podcast.
Yeah.
And I have not checked this, but I'm pretty sure it says it too, mm-hmm. about that when Jesus Christ was begotten.
Yeah.
And they got all hung up about that because if is the only begotten of the Father, let's see, the only begotten which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And it says in the NIV, it says... no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son. Well, that's false. I'm a son of God.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not a capital S son, you know. So anyway, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. Jesus Christ was begotten when he was begotten with Mary.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in eternity sometime before Genesis 1:1.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So anyway, I don't know why my mind was just going to that real heavy.
Well, in other words, he wasn't created. The Bible says in the beginning of the creation of God, they make him as the subject instead of the object, or the object instead of the subject.
Yeah. So anyway,
he was there when God created the universe, Christ created it.
Yeah.
Too. He was there.
And we know that from John 1.
Yes.
In the beginning, because it says in verse 2 or verse 3, all things were made by him.
Yes.
So he was before he was begotten.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard.
It's hard to understand.
He was the Word before he was begotten.
Yeah.
Anyway, but anyway, it's the NIV
Bible says
was
it's a mystery.
I shouldn't have read the NIV one because it wasn't quite the same. But
they
mess it up, and I don't remember which version it is, but correct me if I'm wrong. They say the only begotten God.
Yeah, that's the New World Translation.
That New World Translation. Yeah. Anyway, the King James has only begotten Son. Anyway, I totally jumped and derailed our train.
Oh, that's all right.
But let's go to 1 John 1.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
1 John 1:1, you want to handle that one, or you want me to let you do 1 John 5:7?
You go ahead, I'll do 1 John 5:7.
All right, the Bible said in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. See, there's that beginning again, notice.
Yep.
And John's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. Notice that capital W there. That's the incarnate Word, but it's called the Word. For the life was manifested, we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I mean, folks, there it is. Genesis 1:1, John 1:1, 1 John 1:1. I mean, how much plainer can it be?
You'd think God wrote the Bible.
Yes, you'd think he had something to do with it.
Or gave the writers what to write.
Yeah, you know we're being facetious. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I probably should explain myself, because not everybody has studied this. But anyway, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And I'm going to compare this with some in Proverbs here. 1 John 5:7. Now, if you have an NIV or an ESV, you need to close it. You can set it on the coffee table or in the commode or something. You know.
Yeah.
But we have a King James Bible here. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And Brother Mitch is looking up in the NIV, yeah. But till he gets there, that is a capital W. And this is one of the, if not the, greatest verses on the Trinity.
Yeah.
And of course, the devil doesn't want it in there. So.
Yeah, I believe it's the greatest verse in the Bible. It's also the most controversial verse in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, along with 1 Timothy 3:16. And 1 John 5:7, the NIV, what they do, the NIV will take a part of verse 8, make a verse 7,
yeah.
And they'll take, and the New American Standard will take part of verse 6 and make a verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
But the NIV in the 1984 edition and 78 edition says, for there are three that testify. That's all it says in verse 7. Well, who is that? Mo, Larry, and Curly? Or who is that?
Yeah.
See, you don't know if you don't have a Bible. But the greatest verse in the Bible on the Trinity is 1 John 5:7. You say, well, the word Trinity's not in the Bible anyway. Yeah, but Godhead is three times.
Yeah.
Acts, Romans, and Colossians. I mean, three. One, two, three, the Trinity. And that's what the Godhead is. Amen. The word rapture is not in the Bible either, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah. So flip over, you can, I don't know if we'll be back at 1 John 5:7, and just so you Bible believers know, Lord Terry's, we're going to do a whole podcast on why 1 John 5:7 belongs in the Scriptures.
Right.
Not that we have any say in or anything, because we're just, God wants it in there, it's going to be in there.
Yes, sir.
But as far as the manuscript evidence, the stuff that you got to have a thinking hat on, Barney put a bucket on his head. Or was that Gomer on Andy Griffith?
Probably Gomer.
I think it was one of them. They put a bucket on their head to think. But anyway, we were just doing comparison last time. We are going pretty much just from the Scriptures this time, comparing in a little bit. But Lord willing, we'll do the historical part of 1 John 5:7. There's been a lot of attack on it. James White's probably the biggest one today as far as getting material out there against 1 John 5:7. The Muslims called him out on it did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. But anyway, where was I going? Oh, yeah, Proverbs chapter 30. I want to go there right quick and show you something about the lowercase W word, all right? Verse 4, Proverbs 30, verse 4. I'll start verse 1 in case you're turning there. The words of Agur, the son of Jekah, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ethiel, even unto Ethiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Now man is mentioned in verse 2, now look at verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven? Well, Jesus ascended up into heaven. Or descended. Well, he went to the lower parts of the earth. Psalm 16, verse 10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. neither shalt thou, thou shalt not leave, anyway, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Right. That may be a word or two off there. But anyway, his soul went to hell after he was on the cross, okay? And Peter in Acts 2, what verse is it in Acts 2 that he talks about that?
Yeah.
I think it's in the 40s, but
yeah.
Anyway, you can look it up. So he descended. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Well, we know Gideon. He had waters in the fleece.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the word of God doing that there. Who hath established all the ends of the earth? We know that he created the world from 1 John 1:2-3. Chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. What is his name? And what is his son's name? Now, it must not be Allah, because this has a son.
Yeah, this guy has a son.
If thou canst tell. And then it says, every word of God is pure. And that's lowercase. So that's why we pay attention to every word of God, because it's pure. And then it says, he, that's a personal pronoun, and the subject is word of God.
Yeah.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and I'll be found a liar. That's like when it says, I wrote it down here, but the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying in these,
the scripture
foreseeing.
Yeah, there was not even any scripture, but God said the scripture.
The scripture foresaw it. Yeah. Amen. All right, now you go, brother.
All right.
We're volleying back and forth.
You say, you know, that's a little bit weak. No, it's not weak. The problem is the people's understanding of what the Bible says is weak. Hebrews 4:12 was famous, some of the most famous verses in the Bible. For the word of God is quick. See that lowercase W? For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the written word. He's talking about the book, lowercase. See it? But notice this. Sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. That's that operation that takes place on an individual when they get saved, the circumcision of the heart made without hands that you don't even feel, but he cuts away that body away from the soul and spirit and quickens the spirit. And that's what salvation is. Every person that ever been saved has experienced that, whether they know it or not. But notice what he says. He says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's talking about the written word. We're talking about lowercase W. But notice this, verse 13, neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Well, wait a minute. I thought we was talking about a Bible. I thought we was talking about the word of God. Well, here it changes to a person. You can't separate them. You say, how do you know, Brother Mitch? Next verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You notice, folks, that goes from the written word to the incarnate word in one verse there. Mm-hmm. And you'll miss it if you don't get it. You've got to read this book, and you've got to believe what you read.
Yeah.
Folks, you can't separate the two.
It says, "Work which effectually worketh in you that believe."
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's Revelation 19 if we want to go a little further with that.
Yeah, let's do that. I already beat you there. And I saw heaven open, Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Now, Faithful and True is capitalized. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And that is a capital W, And it says the Word of God with a capital T on the as well.
The Word, that's the definite article, not the indefinite. Yep. The definite article, the Word of God.
Yeah, His name is called the Word of God. Yeah. There was somewhere else that I was going to go, but I totally forgot it and I didn't put it in my notes. But I got something, Brother Mitch, that do you have another verse you were wanting to hit about that? Because I got something.
No, you go right ahead, brother. You go right ahead.
Okay, so...
Oh, we could deal with quite a few, but if you got something on your heart, you...
You go ahead. I think I just remembered it.
Okay.
And I didn't write it down. So if you got something you want to talk about, go ahead and I'll find it.
Well, what we're trying to see here is we're not saying that this book here is Jesus. We're not saying that.
Right.
What we're saying is you can't separate the written word and the incarnate word. You can't separate it because you wouldn't know about the incarnate word unless you had the written word. You wouldn't know about the Holy Spirit coming inside of you and what happens when you get saved. It's more than a feeling. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. It's an eternal fact. But you wouldn't know what happened unless you had a Bible to tell you. People need to think. How are you going to know about Jehovah? Hey, if you look at these books here, you're not going to find Jehovah because Jehovah's left out of the NIV. It's left out of the New American Standard. It's left out of the English Standard Version. It's left out of the New King James Version. You wouldn't know who your God is if you didn't have a King James Bible because His name is in this book seven times. So what Brother Kyle and I are trying to get through to our audience is you can't separate the written word. The Bible said the scripture cannot be broken, right? And you can't break up Jesus Christ unless you try to eat Him every Sunday morning at the Mass by putting Him on your tongue. That's not going to do the job, folks. Folks, he was broken, but it was His body that was broken, not His bones. His body was broken for us. And that Lord's Supper is commemorative of that event.
Yeah, there's a... Let's go to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. People talk about the heathen in Africa and places they hadn't heard. They may not have a Bible, but they do have nature that they can look at. Romans 1.
Romans 1.
And I fully believe that I believe that if a man will seek God, that God will reveal Himself unto him.
Yes, He will.
The Bible says he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so if a man, if the talks about happily if they will feel after him and all that.
Yeah, accept
him. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. Now, we're going to change the course of this podcast right here, and this is going to be special to you that you guys who, of course, you probably already know it, but those of you who believe the King James Bible, if you're hung up on a modern version, this is going to go through one ear, and I mean, it might get caught up somewhere, but this is, if you're a King James Bible believer, this is mainly to you for everybody listening, okay? There's a lot of similarities between the written word and the incarnate word, okay? I mean, look at the attack on the Bible.
Yes.
And the attack on Jesus Christ. The main attack on Jesus Christ came at the end of His earthly ministry.
Yes, it did.
And the raptures could happen before you even listen to this, but if you're listening to it and you're saved, you know it hadn't happened yet. But we're knocking on the door.
Yes, we are.
And this book, the words of God are going to abide forever, but we're talking about earthly ministry in the form that it's in, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it's the words of God are going to abide forever, but the book is receiving more attack now, I believe, than it did in the days of any time in church history.
But our communication skills are...
Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, and the believers... Back then, they had the Catholic institution suppressing everything, but they didn't have the internet back then.
Right, right.
And so anyway, there's a massive attack with Laodicea. But I want to look at verse 52 of Luke chapter 2, okay? Verse 51 says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And we talked about all the similarities. So let's think about this verse, all right? "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So if Jesus was increasing in wisdom and stature, stature's physical, wisdom is not.
Right.
Okay. Wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Mm-hmm.
So that means when Jesus Christ was, there was a time and point where Jesus Christ had less favor with God than he did when he was a little older.
Yeah.
Now that's something that, that's a big pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. But he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he was, he had more favor with God as time went on here.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Cross-reference that with Psalms chapter 12 in verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It didn't say purified one time.
Mm-mm.
It said purified seven times. And we know that it said as silver is tried. The dirtiest silver is the original.
Yes, it is.
That they mine out of there. It's got dirt all over it.
Yeah. And in it.
And yeah. It, yeah, there's dirt. So they have to refine it with fire. And so once you got seven, what, the seventh purification is going to be cleaner, right? Because the dirt's getting out.
Yeah.
Than the original.
Yeah. Well, that upset some people.
Now, compare that with Luke 2:52 with the incarnate word gaining favor with God. And he was God.
Yeah.
But he gained favor with God. And increased in wisdom.
Yeah, Hebrews 5, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Yeah.
So
the more this book is tried with a fire, the purer it's going to become. Not the fact that it's re-inspired, or not the fact that it's more inspired, but the fact the inspiration comes out in it toward man more than it ever has before.
Yeah. The inspiration is a own, it says, well, let me read it so I won't mess it up.
Yeah.
But 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture, I remember now, all scripture is given.
Is
that's
given.
Present tense.
It sure is.
All scripture is given by inspiration. And you cross that with Job 32:8.
Yes.
And the inspiration of the, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So if you want to understand the book, you got to have the inspiration of God.
Well, sure you do. And if and if the book is preserved, if this book's preserved, which is what we believe and can readily see by reading it and studying it, then the inspiration's got to be preserved. You can't preserve the book without preserving the inspiration. And there's things in this book here that you do not find in the original Hebrew, in the original Greek. Mm-hmm.
Chapter and verse markings are one example.
Absolutely.
Of that.
And there is a numerical system in this book having to do with the chapter and verse markings that you don't find in any Hebrew manuscript, either perished or extant, or either any Greek manuscript perished or extant. That's just the fact. And not only that, folks, here it is. This is profound. Now get this. You got this. You got it. You don't have the original Hebrew and Greek. And not only that, you don't have the King James translators material that they had, because it burned up in London in 1666. And folks, you're going to have to go with what you got.
Yeah.
And God said he'd preserve it to every generation. We're in a generation and maybe the last one.
Well, you guys know, if you've studied church history any, when the apostles died out, there was an infatuation with their relics, with their clothes, and with their, you know, all this stuff. They had, what, three heads of John the Baptist in Europe.
Yeah, one of them was a small head when he was a baby. When people will believe that stuff, they'll swallow that. They won't take the truth. Yeah. People will pay somebody to lie to them, and they won't take the truth for free.
Yeah.
Now, why is that?
So if we still had the originals, which we don't, I say we like I'm a scholar. I'm a student.
Well, that's actually the King James Bible. That's what the word scholar means. It means a student.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. But
Malachi,
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But no, that's good. That's good.
My train derails quite often, too. It gets worse as you get older.
Yeah, well,
Colin and I have a good time doing this. You may notice this
because
Christians are happy, and this is a happy subject.
It's very happy. Now, this subject can get a little dull when we're dealing with some of the perversions. Oh, I forgot where I was going.
Perversions. I've never heard that. That's good.
But for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
That's it.
This book is special to me, but the words in it is what is really special.
Yeah.
And if we had the original manuscripts, I about guarantee you that they would almost be worshipped.
They would.
Now people are going to say, oh, you're a hypocrite because you're a bibliolater right now. That's why you're having the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the words that I speak unto you, that's Jesus. Yeah. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes.
Is the words.
Exactly right.
And so the
flesh profiteth nothing.
Yeah.
You can chew up a wafer and say it's God. You say it's Jesus Christ. Don't profit you a thing. It's the words that he spoke. That's the only thing that profits.
Yeah.
Their spirit and their life.
So if you're wanting to get to heaven and you want to see tangible evidence that you can see and touch, you ain't going to find it. If you're wanting to get to heaven, it's going to be something that you can't see, that you got to believe in.
Absolutely.
That Jesus died on the cross, was buried, that he rose again the third day.
Yes.
Okay? And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I had never been ashamed. I believed on him.
46 years.
Yeah.
He's been ashamed of me, I'm sure, but I've never been ashamed of him.
Yeah. And it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Doesn't matter if the man's black, white, Indian, red. It don't
matter.
That's it. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, red, yellow, black, or white, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you don't know where you're going when you die, it's not going to be some work that you can do that you physically see, like getting baptized, or maybe you think that since you were baptized as an infant that you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
That's nowhere in the Bible. You couldn't find that before 200 AD.
No.
Baptism of infants.
How many of my Baptist brethren and Kyle's Baptist brethren have been murdered because we would not recant and say that water had any saving value whatsoever?
Yeah.
And we're the only denomination that's called Baptist. I'll go explain that. We believe that water does, as far as getting to heaven, water does absolutely nothing but get you wet.
Yeah, my pastor says, he hasn't said it a while, but he says, you can get baptized till the tadpoles know your social security number, and it won't get you to heaven.
No, it won't. Because that's works.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ even said it. He said it suffered to fulfill all righteousness. And we're not saved by works of righteousness. Yep. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done,
but according to his mercy saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Titus 3:5.
Yeah. So, I guess that does it. If you are unsaved, if you're unsure of whether you're saved or not, then by all means, ask us. I mean, the email, I think, is on there, info@1611ministries.org. My number, I'll give it out, 704-425-7880. Text or call. I'm not going to give Brother Mitch's number out because people might harass him. But anyway, if you want to speak to Brother Mitch, text me or call me, and then I can have him call you. But find out, make sure, because today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Lord comes back before you call on him, you're going to get strong delusion.
Yes, sir. You're right about that. You got a King James Bible, keep it. Read it, study it, believe it, and if the day ever comes where you have to, die by it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.